This is the Shape America podcast, hosted by Colin Brooks
and Matt Pomeroy, making 50 million strong by 2029.
Welcome to another episode of the Shape America podcast. We have a really special episode of the Shape America podcast. This is Colin Brooks, and I'm actually recording live from one of my technology courses that I'm co-instructing here. And today I'm having the class actually do a podcast with me, which is really exciting. So everyone, can you say hi?
Hi!
All right. So, and we also have a very special guest here that I'm sure a lot of you know. So we're here with Judy Lobianco. Can you say hi, Judy?
Hi, everybody.
Awesome. So basically how this is going to work is we're just going to get started with some questions, and then we'll see where it goes. And, you know, they all wrote down some questions, but we'll just see where the conversation goes and build on those questions and so forth. Sound good, Judy?
I can't wait.
Okay, awesome. And thanks so much for giving us a few minutes of your time. I know you're busy. Okay, is there any students that would want to go first?
Hi, I'm Gina. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, Gina.
So my first question is, I wanted to know, like, in your opinion, if there's any bias when high schools are hiring. So, like, because I've gotten told a lot, I want to be a high school teacher, but being fresh out of college, being, like, a 23-year-old girl going to a high school level, that there would be, like, bias or stereotypes against hiring me. So I just wanted to kind of know, like, your opinion on, like, age and gender when, like, applying for a high school position.
Well, that's a tough one out of the gate, isn't it?
Yeah.
quality programs have a major bias. Here's the bias. I only want people who are going to love kids.
Okay. Straight to it. Like
the end.
The end. Like it. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Someone else want to go next?
Yeah.
All right, Jake. Okay, Jake's coming on up here.
Hi, Jake.
How are we going?
Thanks.
My question for you is, what is a little bit of your teaching philosophy, and what do you value in others in other teachers' teaching philosophies?
Thank you for that question. So you just heard me say I want people who love kids. You know, before you talk about health and physical education, or even think about the content you're teaching, the value you have to bring is the relationship you have with your kids. They have to know that you care about them on a deep level. They have to know that you're passionate about your content because you know that the work you do for them is a matter of life and death. So when I talk about and lead from the gate, I say, it's not about the skill you're teaching. It's not about the assessment you're giving. It's not about the progression of a lesson. You need to get kids on board with caring about them first, making sure they know that you're an adult in their life that really values their wellness for life. And then what you say will be okay for them. You know what I'm saying? So be mindful of that and make sure that when you go into the classroom for the very first moments, take the time to build the relationship before you start delivering the content, and it will make all the difference in the world.
Thanks.
Awesome. Okay, someone want to go next? All right, Jonah. Jonah's coming on up here. Judy.
Hi, I'm Dylan.
Hi, Jonah.
My question is, what made you want to switch from teaching to, like, an admin role like you have now?
Thank you for that. So I love kids. My passion was teaching. I miss them every day. But one day I was having a conversation with my administrator, and he said straight out to me, you know what, Judy, if this district could get rid of health and phys ed altogether, they would do it, and there'd be nothing I could do to stop them. My administrator said this to me. And all of a sudden, this little flame started burning in my stomach. And 3 years later, he was fired, I was hired. And that's what made me pat.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Colton?
Right.
Colton, that's a super cool name.
Nice to meet you.
Super cool.
Thanks for joining us. My question is, what would you say is the most difficult part for a first-year teacher?
Good one.
The most difficult part, I think, is acclimating into the culture and being able to manage your classes in a way that helps you organize your time, all right? When you get in here, you want to please everybody, and sometimes that's just not possible. I think that new teachers get in there and they go full throttle and they forget to exercise self-care. And if you don't put the oxygen on yourself first, you can't put the oxygen on kids. So I would say that your challenge is to build those relationships, learn the culture, be strong in your convictions about what you believe quality health and physical education is, and stick by it so that you're not socialized right away into some sort of poor program or poor teaching practice. Be your own teacher. So don't fall into those pitfalls. And you know, don't forget that in your first year, although you want to impress everybody around you, enjoy your kids. For the first time, these are your classes. These are your lessons. This is your delivery. Don't forget to celebrate that. So I think my big thing is you don't take on too much too soon. Be able to be mindful about managing kids, build that relationship, and be careful of the pitfalls around socializing into practice that's not good practice.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so we got Riley's coming up next for you, Judy.
Hi, Riley.
Hi, nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us today. So my question is going into this ever-changing profession. As physical educators, how can we advocate for physical education in schools?
Thank you for that. One of the things that nobody tells you when you get a teaching degree in health and PE, unlike any other subject, advocacy is your responsibility. Leadership is your responsibility. Math don't have to fight for themselves. Social studies, science, the tested subjects never have to fight for their existence in this life, right? So, but we do. And as much a part of you that plans for your lessons, the same part of you has to advocate with tons of different people. And I mean tons. Parents, classroom teachers, principals, boards of education. And you need to be able to have the toolkit necessary to be able to do that kind of advocacy. You weren't meant to be a phys ed teacher to be shy, right? It's not who we are. So it really means a lot to be able to make sure you know your research, make sure you know what physical activity does to the brain and what it does to academics. And no matter what seat at the table you sit at, whether it's chronic absenteeism or cutting PE teachers, or integrating physical activity in a classroom, or making sure kids have better recess, you're ready to go because guess what? You're the expert in your school, and you need to blow that horn, and you don't need to be afraid to do that. Beyond advocating in your own district, you have to make sure that when it's time to get funding from the federal government, you're joining Shape America at Speak Out Day. You're making sure to write to your legislators about the way you want to see federal education dollars spent, particularly since, for the first time ever, health and physical education are part of a well-rounded education. So we're talking locally, then we're talking globally. And at the end of the day, when I say advocacy, I want you to remember that your number one advocate for your classroom is, guess who? Kids. I want them running home to their parents saying, oh my God, you'll never believe what I learned in PE today. That's advocacy.
Cool. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.
Okay, Kale's coming up next for you, Judy.
What's up, Judy? Can you see me? I'm coming.
Yeah, hi.
So my question for you is kind of two-part. What do you think the biggest challenge facing PE was like 10 years ago? And do you think that's the same today, or has that evolved? What's like the biggest challenge that you see facing the field of physical education?
Okay. So if I had to just pick one, because there's a couple, one that I would want you all to know is assessment. I think it's been a challenge for decades. I think we haven't solved it yet. And I think that we have to work hard to make sure that whatever assessment looks like in our schools matches the needs of our kids. So we have these fabulous national standards, and our board of directors, as Colin Brooks knows, is talking about assessment and what works and what doesn't work. I think the word that comes to mind is to be realistic. And if our profession has been struggling with what to assess, how to assess, and how often to assess over the past several decades, we have to move together in a place where we can solve that. And so I would say, not to cop out of the discussion, but to say, when you get in your school, depending on how often you see your kids, how many kids you have, what facilities you have, and what is realistic and possible for you, pick the assessments that are going to be most meaningful for your local situation. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so Maddie's coming up next.
Maddie!
Hi, my name's Maddie. Super excited to be here. My question for you kind of goes off of the last question. So in the past 10 years, what is one of the biggest changes you've seen in the PE world?
One of the biggest changes I've seen in the PE world in the past 10 years is everybody caught up with us. Here we are teaching in a gymnasium saying what we do is a matter of life and death for kids, and what happens in the body makes a big difference. And in the past 10 years since the Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign, everybody's interested in physical education's contribution to the academic brain. And now, unlike 10 years ago, people are actually saying, wow, if you're physically active, you're going to learn better. If you're physically active, you're going to be less absent from school. And if you're physically active, well, you're going to be less of a discipline problem. And now we've finally got stakeholders outside of our profession listening to the fact that, you know, principals, you better get into that gymnasium because there's major instructional gains going on in there in relation to everything else that goes on. Now, a couple of major textbooks have come out to help us, you know, really gain all this ground. One of them that I would recommend is Rady's book, Spark, John Rady's book, Spark. And then John Medina's book, Brain Rules. So that's a must read for every new physical educator, as far as I'm concerned. It not only speaks to the fact that we've evolved into a place that's a very important academic area, but also speaks to the advocacy that I was talking about before. When a principal says, I'm not worried about my PE teacher because I never get any phone calls from parents, so everything must be fine. No, everything's not fine. We have to make sure that we're getting in there and figuring out what's going on, right? So I think that I'm jealous. I'm actually jealous of all of you going into the profession at a time when you're going in, because you've got all the tools in your tool belt you need to be able to substantiate what it is you do in a school. And you have to walk in there as an expert saying, look, if you have a problem in this school and you want to solve chronic absenteeism, or you want to help kids with their math grades, or you want to boost the way kids are writing, get them moving, right? So there's no reason why we can't spread that culture. And I'm really very envious, because 10 years ago, we didn't know what we know now. And it's really, it would be a shame for you all to graduate and not use what we know about what activity does with the brain.
Awesome.
Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Hi, I'm Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
So my question is, what is the most common type of technology that you see PE teachers using when you observe them?
I see them using iPad with a ton of different apps. The particular one I think teachers love the most is TeamShake, which is one where they put all their names in this app, and then when you shake it, it comes out with automatic teams. But the cool thing is the teacher can decide what two kids should never be in the same group together if they, you know, pull shenanigans on each other. And it's a really cool way to make teams without picking teams, right? So picking teams is very 1970s. No reason for that. Now we've got apps that'll do it for us and makes it fun for kids. You can have the kids shake the iPad and come up with them. So that's really, really cool. I've seen ones where they have spinning wheels that decide what warm-up activities kids are doing. So I do see a lot of activity with the iPads. And the second I would see is all about heart rate. Like we're not teaching just how to take pulse anymore. We're regulating student activity using heart rate monitoring, which I think levels the playing field for kids. So think about, and I don't mean to keep you, but think about the mile run, right? The mile run in years past has just been this foot race, and the fastest kids go right to the line in the quickest time. And then the kids who can't run as fast or not run at all are the ones getting shamed coming in last. You put a heart rate monitor on a kid and say, whatever you want to do to traverse the distance, you can, but the only caveat is to stay in your heart rate. Now technology has changed the game for every child and made it possible for kids to feel good about moving because they're in their target based on their individual needs, right? So these are some of the ways that technology has really revolutionized our field. And I look forward to what goes on in the next 10 years around how it'll look for you, and you all are going to shape that. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Thank you.
Does anybody want to know how to land a job yet?
that's a good question.
So I'm Jen Krause. I'm co-teaching this class with Colin this semester.
Hi, Jen.
Hi. Thanks so much for being here. This is a really great opportunity for our class. So my question is, what? So this group They have basically another year to go, and then they'll be student teaching and looking for jobs. So what, if you could give them one piece of advice for something that they should do or concentrate on, or just a task they should accomplish in the next year, what would that be?
Right. So I'll get 200 resumes for a job, one job here in New Jersey. So how do you stand out from now until the time you graduate? We all know that you're going to have a degree that tells me you know how to teach, right? We know you came from a university that's respected, and we know that you know how to teach. The thing is, how do you differentiate yourself from everybody else? And there's a couple things you do. Number one, when I interview you and say, why did you want to become a teacher? And you tell me that you love kids, you got to make sure you can prove it. So get around kids. Go coach. Be part of camp. Substitute teach. Know that you love kid, because the moment that kindergartner starts sneezing on you, you have to love that too, right? So make sure you have experiences with kids that you can talk about outside of that student teaching experience. And the second thing is, and I know you know this is coming, be connected to your professional network. So I have 200 resumes for a job, and I only take the ones where I know students have gone to a conference, belong to a membership, have engaged in their community, their professional community, even before they graduate. Because it shows me that you want to be a learner of your profession after you get out of school, right? So what's the best way to do that? If you're a member of your Stay Nafert, if you're a member of Shape America, I know that you're going to be connected to a professional network that will continue to help you to reflect as a teacher. There's nothing worse than watching young teachers come out here, teach 1 year, and then repeat the same thing for the next 20 years, and then say they have 20 years experience. No, you have 1 year experience that you repeated 19 times. What I want is a teacher that is very well-versed and coming in, doing a lesson and saying, oh my God, I blew it. How can I change it? Teacher reflection is so very important, and you can't reflect unless you know what the next thing is that's out there. If I'd stayed teaching the same way I did 20 years ago, I'd never be using any technology. I'd never know about the research. I'd still be rolling out a ball, playing kickball, making kids miserable about their experiences. It's on you to make sure that you give up yourself and your time on behalf of children, because when you go into teaching, there is no more you. You don't exist anymore. It's only them. It's only them. And you have to give everything you have to them every time you step on that gymnasium floor. And if you're not going to do that, now's the time to get out. Because I got to tell you, although it's really hard work, it's the most rewarding thing you are ever going to do with your life. And I'm really excited for you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, Judy. So we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
We really appreciate your time. We don't want you to hang up yet, because we should all probably take a selfie with you up on it. But we appreciate you taking the time to talk to all the students and just kind of give them a few words of advice and be part of a podcast that's happening during class, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So anyways, we really appreciate it. And thanks for joining us for the Shape America podcast today.
Thank you.
All righty.